Time to find out what's happening on the Boston sports scene. And to do that, we turn to our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
A little dancing in the moonlight, Rich. I like it.
Oh, we do it upright here. Absolutely. By the way, I have a message from our Facebook page.
Okay.
From David Utterback, who says to first say hello and then tell you you're a hack.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
He's not going to hear, because if I know Dave, he's on a golf course somewhere right now.
Yeah, probably.
Pass that along is what we do, but you don't care because, you know, he might have been playing golf, but you were at Patriots practice.
Yeah, last two mornings I went up to Foxborough just to see it for myself, get my eyes on what's going on down there. It's definitely different. Obviously, with all the protocols and the age of COVID and everything that we're in here, but there's also, Rich, it's different when number 12's not there. It's just, it's different. It is. It's sort of the elephant in the room. We'll get used to it, I'm sure. But with Tom Brady being gone and not there, it's definitely a different feel this year.
Yeah, have you got a sense? I know it's only been a couple of days, but who's the on-field leader of this team now without him there?
Good question. I think that's still to be determined. You can see some of the veterans that are out there that clearly, guys will look to. I think that's important for the defense, too, having McCourty's out there. Special teams, having a guy like Matthew Slater out there, I think is important. And I'll say this, I think offensively, merging early here as a leader, and it's no surprise because of the personality that he brings, Cam Newton's got a lot of energy, man. He's got a lot of energy, and you can see it even when they're warming up. And today was more of a walkthrough, and he's over there dancing it up, and he's yelling, and at one point he's yelling, "It's Friday, guys!" Like, you know, it's TGIF sort of thing. But that's kind of cool. That's what Cam Newton brings. And, you know, I think we're going to see what happens on the field. And I think he's been picking up the offense day by day and improving. And, it is as advertised, I think, in terms of the personality with Cam Newton.
And what's the status of Jared Stidham?
So he was out there. There's reports that I'll call it a lower body injury, because the NFL Network is saying hip injury. ESPN is saying leg injury. ESPN said that he had to go to the hospital to get it checked out. But he was out there. Again, it was no pads today, more of a walkthrough. But he didn't really take any reps in the walkthrough. So that was something. But Josh McDaniel says he doesn't think it's going to keep him out of practice. He should be back on Sunday. So TBD, I guess. But I think in this modified timeline going into the NFL season this year, this isn't a long camp. Any injury, you know, fair or unfair, it's going to vault the other players of that position sort of into a role where they need to get ready to be, you know, ready to go and be starters to start the season. So if Stidham's going to miss any time or miss any reps, I think you're looking at Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer as the guys that are front runners for the job. Because think about it, Rich. This Sunday is 3 weeks away from the scheduled start for the Patriots for the NFL season, which is crazy.
Yeah, yes, it is. Absolutely. Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Celtics tonight, game three against the Philadelphia 76ers. An impressive performance. Well, I don't know. Was it that the Celtics were that good, or that the 76ers just, my God, caved in the other night?
A little bit of both, I think. the Sixers have that stench, Rich. They have that stench of what the Celtics had with their chemistry last year, just the toxicity to it. And Ben Simmons, I think, would make a difference in this series, but not that much. when you have chemistry issues and all the issues you have on court and the way you turn the ball over, whatever. I mean, Joel Embiid gets what he gets on the court, but I also think on the other side, Jason Tatum, man, ever since he had one rough game, and it was the first game back against the Bucks, and ever since then, he's been that kid that emerged as an all-star in January and February. And if he's going to continue to do this night in, night out, you have to call him a legit NBA superstar now. And you can lean on him going forward. You're going to expect this out of him every night. To go along with the fact that Jaylen Brown, is playing really well. And Kemba Walker is healthy and playing well. And the bench played well. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Celtics have a major opportunity tonight to, if they win tonight, they go up 3-0. With the way this chemistry is with this Sixers team, no way they come back from four games down. No way. It just wouldn't. I mean, the math obviously says that, but also, too, I think it's the Sixers team that's probably going to check out and say, well, been here long enough. You know, well, let's go home. Let's call it. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, and how this will bode for Brett Brown, the main native, going forward. But that's tough because you could see the give up was there.
Yeah, it is. And I do think, you know, Brett has some, you know, really good qualities as a coach. But this is tough. This is a tough situation trying to get this to gel together. And he's got a superstar here in Embiid that, you know, you just don't know. He's going to give you the 30 points and the 10 rebounds and all that. But, you know, is he truly going to take over a game, take over a series? And
well, not against the Celtics because they're right in his head.
Right. Oh, by far. And I think it's been weird that the first couple of games, he'll come out, he'll shoot like 4 for 5 from the field, Rich, and then all of a sudden, where'd Joel Embiid go? Like, it's like they vault out to these leads, they vault out to a great start, and then, boom, the Celtics arrive, they adjust defensively, you know, they start getting, you know, some help over on Embiid, he turns the ball over, he gets frustrated, and, like, he checks out. It's crazy.
Good chemistry, on the other hand, emanating from the Boston Bruins, who had a strong finish to the series and certainly look poised right now to go all the way, although their biggest obstacle may come in the next round because it's sure looking more and more like a Bruins-Lightning matchup.
I can't believe that Bruins fans would ever contemplate rooting for the Montreal Canadiens. I think some may be because, you know, if the Canadiens can rally here and beat the Flyers, it means you avoid Tampa and you get the Islanders, who are no slouch either. The Islanders are playing well, and they've got a couple of guys. They got Barry Trotz as their coach now, won a cup with Washington. They got Lou Lamoriello, who's, you know, I think people here in Providence know Lou very, very well. So it's the organization is pretty good and the team's pretty good. So either way, you know, it's going to be tough in the next round. It'll be obviously much tougher if it's Tampa, but you're right, Rich. I think the chemistry is there with the Bruins. The experience is there. We saw that with Carolina. You know, when the Bruins had to make the plays they needed to make in that series, they did, and Carolina didn't know how to respond, and that was clear and evident. And I give the Bees credit, too, because they basically won that series in 5 games without their top scorer, David Pastrnak, who missed 3 games, and without their top goaltender, a Vezina Trophy finalist, in Tuukka Rask. So it's impressive what they did, and if they can continue to improve here and really sharpen their game and sharpen everything they need to do, then they can make a run here. They really can, and I think that's been the trajectory that they wanted this team on. Bruce Cassidy said they used these round-robin games as, you know, sort of a preseason-type feel. They played like it. It's a dangerous thing to say, but they backed it up by winning that series against the Hurricanes. So either way, it's going to be tough the next round, but if the Bruins can continue to get better themselves, then they get a good shot here.
And anybody, media people, fans, anybody who got on Tuukka Rask for opting out without knowing the full story, but even if there was no further story, then he didn't feel comfortable being there, shame on them.
Yeah, it's the Tuukka situation's really... It's really interesting. There's such vitriol, Rich, for the guy himself. Just because of, I think he's very polarizing for some Bruins fans. You know, and I get it. It's, you know, there's been times before where, you know, he may have checked out of a series for this or that, or, you know, a runny nose or something like that. You know, but it's tough. This time around, he says it's a family emergency, so you don't, you know, I mean, hey, you can't knock a guy for leaving if it's something going on with his family. You know, and honestly, I think it's better for both sides. If Tuukka's head is not in it, you know, then you don't want him to be around there. And if Tuukka's head, you know, if the Bruins feel like they have a better shot to win with a fully engaged Yaroslav Halak, then that's better for them too. So I don't know. Bruins fans, it's very, I'm a Tuukka moderate, I like to say, which I think is a rarity, because either you love Tuukka or you hate Tuukka.
Right.
I'm right in the middle. Yeah, I just don't get fired up, because I think he's a good goaltender. But yeah, some people, you're right, Rich, there's a strong reaction to that guy for some reason.
It's been a tough Red Sox season so far, despite the incredible two-game winning streak. But, dear God, tell me the notion of trading Xander Bogaerts is nothing but people looking for something to talk about. This can't be real, Nick.
I think there's going to be a lot of talk about trading everybody for the next couple of weeks here. And I do think if you're Heim Bloom, you're going to make some deals. There's guys in your roster who I think you need to look at and say, it might be time to move on from this guy. It might be time to move on from that guy. Look, I love JD Martinez as a hitter and what he brought, especially to that 2018 team. But if there's a team in the National League that wants to throw a couple of prospects at you and they need a guy in the middle of their order who's going to hit for them, you know, might be time to part ways. You know, might be time to do that. Look for the right deal. And I think you pick up the phone for anything right now, Rich. But to me, and I think Chaim Bloom said this yesterday, you know, your foundational guys, especially in the lineup, one of them is Xander Bogaerts. I think he can be a leader as a person and as a player, too, for this franchise. That's a guy that it's going to be really difficult, if at all, to part with. If somebody wants to get crazy, though, with anybody right now on the roster, pick up the phone is all, because they're in such bad shape, I think, and payroll wise, and they've managed their money poorly that there's going to be a lot of reconstruction here. But I think you try to do everything you can to keep Xander around here. And, you know, Devers is another guy I look at and say he's really young and he could be a really good lefty in your lineup, especially to complement with Bogaerts in the future. So it's going to be interesting to see how they reconstruct this, though, because there's a lot of work to do. There really is with the Sox, and we're seeing it on the field. And boy, do they need pitching. Oh, at all levels, they need arms, Rich. It just, I was saying this in our radio show we do on Saturday mornings. Rich, when's the last time the Red Sox developed a premium young pitcher in their system? Can you think of it?
We were chatting about that with, I think, Bob Ryan a couple of days ago, and it was, I think we went back to maybe, well, Buckles, I guess, if you could call him any good, or John Lester.
Those were the two names that came up with us, too. And that was, Clay Buckles threw his no-hitter in his second outing, and that was 2008, I believe. That's 12 years, Rich. That is a long time. That's an eternity in baseball.
Mm.
So that tells you something. You know, you need arms. You need to figure out how to develop arms, because, you know, you can't just keep going out and throwing $220 million at David Price's. You know, that's because it'll help you maybe for 1 year or two, but you need to have a healthy franchise. So a lot of work for the Red Sox.
No question about that. Hey, Nick, we appreciate it as always. And you're no hack to us. Just know that.
Oh, thanks, Rich. Oh, man, that makes my day.
I hope so. You have yourself a great weekend, Nick. We'll catch up with you soon.
You too. Thanks, Rich.
Nick Coyte of ABC6 in Providence. Need I add, the two-time Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year, David Utterback. You take that.